So we're riding all the way down. I was too afraid to talk to her. So then we like get off at the 42nd Street station, and I don't know where I'm going. I know that it's at Ripley Greer, which is a super famous, super like well-known rehearsal
Yes,
studio,
yeah.
but I'm still like on my City Mapper app being like, "Where am I going?" So I'm kind of following her from a distance. Cuz I'm like, she knows where she's going.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to They Had Fun. I'm Rachel, and I am back with another amazing story about New York City. And last weekend, I had the most amazing time at the Astraeus Collective. Now, I know it was a Rachel's rec, and I was looking forward to it, but it absolutely blew me away. I am telling you guys, if they have another one of these, you have to go follow them on Instagram to stay up to date. I think she said they're doing another one in June. You will be obsessed with it. It was so good. I was so proud of Mia, like having her as a guest on the show, but I was like, this is the perfect way for people to get into music like this. Not stuffy, not boring. It's super palatable at less than an hour. There's a fucking bar so you can drink and have snacks or get coffee or whatever you want to do. They take a little 10-minute intermission. It was just so great. The music was wonderful. And then you know how they were doing like Scandinavian folk music? They ended, they were like, oh, we can't do something without a little bonus one of like one of the like Scandinavia's best pop singers. And they did a Robin song of like their rendition of Dancing on My Own. It was so great. I had the best time seeing the Astraeus Collective. It is totally exactly the type of shit I love in New York City. So good. So I just want to follow up and let you guys know every bit as wonderful as I expected it to be. Okay, it's freezing cold out, so I don't have anything else to say about New York City recently. So let's just go ahead and get into my Rachel's rec, because I literally, truly have had a reminder on my phone to talk to you guys about this, waiting for it to come around. And it worked out so perfectly that last week when I asked for your request, someone asked for happy hour, like happy hours always. And I just, you know how I feel about happy hours. I've given you guys so many. During my budget month, I think we did the Decades one. I think we also did Le Crocodile, which I love. This week I was talking about Cafe Colette and Della's and all these places. But what I'm bringing you right now, it is one Rachel's rec, because it's the perfect like centrifuge. Is that the word? I don't know. But like it's all coming together here with like the best happy hour deal and an event I've been waiting to talk to you about. Okay. This is Wine Week from Quality Branded Restaurants. I don't know if they're the only restaurants in all of America that do this, or I've tried researching to find other ones, but I can't find it. But anyways, here it is. Twice a year, I believe. Quality branded. So they have like Quality Italian, Quality Eats, a few other ones. They do this thing called Wine Week, and it's a Wine Week lunch, which is the best part. And you get 10 pours of wine for $20. So if you are wondering, Rachel, will I be leaving this lunch drunk? Yes, you will. And you're welcome. For 20 bucks, you will be walking out of a fancy ass restaurant, feeling a little tipsy into the spring sunlight. And it is fabulous. So I have gone to this probably 3 times. And what I'm pitching you guys here is to do it the way that my husband and I like to do it. Now, this is April 8th through the 12th. I'm giving you enough heads up here that you can go get your lunch reservation now, because a lot of them are already booked. The one that I wanted was already booked, so I had to switch to my plan B. So what I love to do is the Friday of it. This is the last day. You take a little half day, okay? They do lunch until 2 or 2:30, I think. So you take as far into your workday as you can go, and you book a super late lunch for like 2, 2:30. You get there, and you just coast right into that Friday night. And it's so, so fun. Last year, my husband and I went to the Quality Italian one. We stuck around there probably till like 4, had our wine, had a great time, popped into a wine store right next door, picked up a little half bottle of champagne, did a giant lap around Central Park with that champagne, kept the party going, went up and met with some friends downtown after that, went out to dinner. I mean, like, let this lead you into a wonderful evening in New York. So my restaurant of choice the last couple of years has been Quality Italian. I love the location. They do a great job. They have a bunch of veggie options. It is just seriously a hell of a good time. This year, I don't know, Quality Italian's not involved, but where you can go, Smith and Walensky, Quality Meats, which does not have anything for me. That's the one I'll be going to. And, you know, I don't know, last but not least, you can go to Bad Roman if you want. I won't be attending that one, but it is there for you. I have checked. There are still reservations. I cannot stress this enough. $20, 10 pours of wine. Get your reservations now for wine week. Maybe if you go to the one I'm at the right time, on the right day, I will see you there. Seriously, love this. What a deal. I don't feel like they promote it enough. It is seriously so fun. Okay, that is my one Rachel's rec, which in a way is kind of two combined together. It's what I wanted to bring you. You wanted the happy hour. Let's get into my guest today. Another great one, guys. I'm just getting so lucky with this season. So what do you think? She's got quite the lineup ahead of her accolades. So here we go. She is a singer. She is an actress. She is an intimacy director. So fucking cool. And if you like what you hear today, you can see her perform in person at Don't Tell Mama on April 2nd, right here in New York City. Please welcome to the show, Elaine Bell.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Oh my gosh, thank you for saying yes to me. No surprise to anyone who listens to this show. I met you at a bar. It's what I do.
Yes.
I stalk people. I go to bars and, you know, we chatted for a bit and we got straight to the crux of it that I found out you moved to New York very recently and that was my requirement. And of course, you have an interesting career, like we said, artist, singer, intimacy director. I'm so interested in all of this. Talk to us a bit about all of these multifaceted things you're doing in the city currently.
So I moved here in May and, you know, the artistry has been put on the back burner as of right now, but I'm starting to get more back into the scene. I feel like the thing out of those three that people know the least about is intimacy direction. It's definitely a new conversation happening in the industry, and I'm super happy to be one of the front runners talking about this. Intimacy direction is something that's super cool, new to the industry. Just helping to create consent forward artists and bring more consent into performance.
Oh my gosh, I'm so glad that that's kind of what you picked up on. First of all, like you said, you know, and I just want to acknowledge, like you're saying, like the artistry maybe has to move to the back burner a little bit. And I think that's something, you know, we all know moving here as New Yorkers, it takes time, it takes effort, it takes hustle. So that's okay. You're going to get it right back to that front burner in a little bit. But I'm excited that you kind of, you know, out of all those things, you kind of pinpointing the intimacy direction, because I find that so interesting. I've never talked to an intimacy director. Number one. Number two, like you said, it's gaining, I don't know, popularity. I don't know if that's the right word.
Yeah, more traction. Yeah.
Sure. People are learning more about it. Do you want to talk to us a bit about how you got started in that, or maybe even how it works for people who don't know about it? Hopefully they do. But yeah, tell us anything about intimacy direction. I'm in.
So I actually discovered it from a professor I had in college. She had brought up the term intimacy director and I was like, what? What is that? You know, it was a term that I had never heard before. And it's funny, people are like, oh, you like choreograph people to have sex. And it's like, yeah, like sometimes intimacy can be anything of like prolonged eye contact. That can be intimate. A handhold, that can be intimate. Mm-hmm. Intimacy directors basically bring in the pillars of consent. I always compare it to stage combat. You bring in a stage combat director who's going to choreograph the scene so that it's repeatable, that it's safe. You know what the boundaries are. That's the exact same thing we do with intimacy direction. We make sure that it's, we have consent. We know people's boundaries, that it's nice and repeatable. So yeah, it's just a way to keep people protected and safe. And it's super awesome. I love it.
Hell yes. Like, I love this. And look at you. I don't know how I'm going to get out of this season without sounding like an old bird the whole time. Cause I'm like, look at you kids bringing this together. But that's how I feel. I'm like, hell yes. That, why not? Why haven't we had this before? Just, I think the analogy you made is so perfect. You have a stage combat person. Where are the lines? How do we feel okay? Where does it end? Where does it begin? What's my safety? Like, it just plays in to what I was hoping for this entire season, is finding new avenues in these new people and coming here with new ideas. And maybe it's something we should have been doing for a while, but it hasn't. And now it is. And I'm excited to talk about it. I think it's so cool. I think it's so cool that you're doing so many things in the city. So let's go ahead and get in to our normal round of questioning, because we're going to get to learn to know more about you through this. So let's get started with the first question. And that is, of course, when did you move to New York?
I still say really recently because it still feels really recent. I moved in May. I literally moved 2 weeks after my graduation from college, a day after my birthday. And yeah, I moved with 3 suitcases.
May is extremely recent.
Yeah.
We're talking less than a year at this point. I'm excited to see I can't say right now for certain if you will be the newest or the longest or whatever. We'll have to wait and see how it all plays out. That is so recent to me. And you can just hear the excitement in your voice. I love that you came just like 2 weeks after graduation. It's like that energy of like, let's just get here. I have to do it. You do acting, you do singing, you do intimacy directing. So we're going to have a little bit of an idea of maybe what the answer to the second question will be. But my second question is always, why did you move to New York?
Obviously, acting, the theater scene is a huge part of that, but it wasn't my main reason. I mean, it was definitely a big factor, but ever since I was a child, like a young little girl, I had been interested in theater, but I was also obsessed with New York. I had like a New York themed bedroom at one point that was like black and white. I still even have like the posters, like the historic War is Over picture, the historic like black and white Grand Central photo hung up in my room. I was just like obsessed with New York. I loved any movie that was set in New York. I was just obsessed with the city. So I'm from Idaho.
Oh, wow. Quite the journey.
Quite far away.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, being a kid from Idaho, New York City seemed like this unattainable, like, you know, I would never even get to visit there sort of thing. But on my bucket list that I had was move to New York. That was like the bucket list I started as a kid was move to New York. First, it was like visit New York. And then it was like ride in a taxi. Then it was like, you know, just those things like visit the Statue of Liberty. All my bucket list items had to do like with something New York related. So it wasn't just theater. It was just like the city itself. It just seemed like this, I don't know, Disneyland for me. Like I wanted to experience something else because I'd lived in Idaho my whole life. So
I love this so much. I mean, this is the energy that really resonates with me. This is a story that resonates with me. I mean, frankly, ditto. I mean, we're two peas in a pod. I mean, it was the same thing, just always obsessed with New York and had to get here. And it makes me so happy to know that you did it. How did I find you? That's what I wanted. It's the right lady at a bar of you being like, I had a travel to New York bucket list when I was a kid. It's so cute and so perfect for this show. There is, of course, the underpinning of something artistic and a drive and a passion, but also just knowing in your heart, I have to be there. I say it all the time. I hope people hear this. I hope people hear this season and think I can do it. You know, if I'm just some kid living in Idaho and like, but this is the place I always wanted to be.
Yeah.
Even the you from, you know, May, do you think the you from April is like mind blown of the things you're doing?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. My mind is blown and every day I'm grateful. And I always say like, if little Lainey could see me now, like that's always my thing. I count my blessings every single day.
Oh my God, that's so cute. Well, to be honest, Rachel's seeing you right now and I'm excited for you and proud of you. I think it's so cool. Listen, you know, we know here it sucks sometimes. There's going to be days in the future where it will beat you down and you will be like, can I still do it? But for right now, you are happy. You have done it. You are pursuing your dream. You can cross it off your bucket list. You moved to New York City.
Yes.
Considering that you have this true obsession with New York City from a very young age, I have to ask you the most important question of the show. And that is, Lainey, what is the most fun you've ever had in New York City?
So when I first moved here, I honestly was like, oh, I'm going to give myself a few months and I'm going to not focus on auditions right now. I'm just going to focus on myself getting a muggle job, as I call it, which is, you know, where I met you at my muggle job.
What does that mean?
It's just like what I refer to as like my non-artist job.
I've never heard that word before.
I had heard someone call it that once because, you know, I think it's like a Harry Potter reference. Like, you know, muggles are like the humans. So like, I just call it like my human job. So I was just working on like saving up money and, you know, kind of replacing the funds that I had used to get here. I honestly wasn't doing anything like artistic. I kind of felt like a creative block. But I had followed this girl since the pandemic named Megan Bowen, and she's an incredible, incredible dancer, artist, body positivity person. It was just like, I felt really connected to her and I would always follow her. She lived in New York and was always very transparent about like struggles as an artist and struggles as an artist in this day and age. And she had posted that she was going to be doing like a pop-up dance class. And I was like, whoa, I can do that now. Like I can go to these things that are in New York. Like I can just go to a creator who I'm obsessed with and, you know, I'm a dance minor. I took a lot of dance classes in college, but in New York City, I don't label myself as a dancer. Like, a dancer in New York City is very different than, like, I could get away with calling myself a dancer in Idaho, I think, but like not in New York. So I just call myself an enthusiastic groover. So I was like, oh, is her dance class? Like, am I going to make a fool out of myself? Is this going to be weird? Like,
no.
But all levels are welcome. So I was like, cool, I'm going to do it. And who cares if I make a fool out of myself? So I signed up for it. And I remember it was like cold. I had just gotten a like floor length puffer jacket, which made me feel like a real New Yorker.
A must have.
I felt so cool. And I had all my dance clothes underneath, and I like packed up these dance shoes that I had bought in New York, a pair of like nice Leducas that I had saved my money for. And I had bought on a New York trip like 2 years ago, but I had never worn them. They had like sat in a box for 2 years because I was like, oh, like, I'm not going to use them for my like Idaho audition. Like, I'm going to wait. I don't know. It was something sentimental to me.
These are my New York shoes.
Exactly. These are my New York Leducas. Like,
yes, yes,
I was
yes.
Like, I'm going to wear them in New York. Packed all that stuff in. I walked down to the A train and I like rode two stops. And then Megan Bowen walks into my train car and I'm like,
stop.
Yeah. She has her like fur hat on. And I was like, oh my God, what? And I was just trying to keep my head down because I was like, oh my gosh, I like idolize her. Like, she's incredible. And like, I followed her since the pandemic. Like, she got me through some of my pandemic sorrows. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
It was just kind of this like, oh my gosh, New York moment.
Yeah.
So we're riding all the way down. I was too afraid to talk to her. So then we like get off at the 42nd Street station. And I don't know where I'm going. I know that it's at Ripley Greer, which is a super famous, super like well-known rehearsal studio.
Yes, yeah.
But I'm still like on my City Mapper app being like, where am I going? So I like, I'm kind of following her from a distance. Like, she knows where she's going. She's teaching the class. It was like this little hole in the wall. Like, it was so funny. I'm like, wow, this is like such a well-known rehearsal studio. So I go into it and the walls are just like lined with photos from shows of icons that have rehearsed and done their stuff there. I'd always heard about auditions at Ripley Greer, you know, like these shows rehearsing at Ripley Greer. And I was just like staring at these walls of Broadway legends.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I got chills. Literally. It was just like my theater kid exploding inside. I get into the elevator with her. I'm still like, like so nervous. I'm so nervous. And she walks into the dance studio and like all of the other people are waiting outside the dance studio waiting for dance to start. All these girls, you know, like they look like dancers. I'm a plus size girly and I was like scouting for any other plus size girlies. And I was like, okay, there's a couple. Okay, cool, cool. Because it just makes me feel more comforted when I am not the only plus size girly in the room. So I get into the studio. I like put on my Leducas. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm a cool dancer. And we start to do our warm up. And like the walls are like windows that just outlook the city, like just at this like little pop-up dance class. So we started, it was incredible. We learned a combination to London Bridge by Fergie. So it was like very unserious, very just like, she was like, let it rip.
Awesome.
I had so much fun. I just let loose because it had been so long since I had done something like creative or artistic or performance-based. And it was just like an out of body experience. Like, I was so present, but also so out of body because I was like, this is so wild. Like, I'm getting to take a dance class in New York City, which sounds stupid. Like, yes, there are dance classes every day, but it was like my first one.
No, it doesn't.
I just was able to let loose. I didn't care about mistakes. I was not self-conscious at all. I have a lot of body confidence, but like to be in a dance studio with girls who are like kicking up past their head, sure, doing splits, like doing triple pirouettes, I was like, I can't do any of that, but you know what? I'm still going to have fun. And I got to talk to Megan after the class. And I was like, I was literally on the train with you. Like, I was like, you're such an icon to me. And she was like, I'm just a person. But like, it was just such a cool experience. And that was definitely the most fun I've had thus far.
Lainey, I love it.
How am I not going to cry in every single one of these episodes this season? I'm just so happy for you. Thank you. It's such a good story. It's such a good story. And it is exactly that nugget of optimism and joy. It can happen in New York fucking city.
It can.
Yeah. You're this kid in Idaho in your bedroom.
Yeah.
Everyone who's listening to this show knows that feeling. We talk about it all the time of I just have to get there. And then you're dancing in that room with someone you look up to, and you're yes. setting the picture so perfectly of the walls are filled with these people, and it's been the dream, and you're here, and how did I do it? And on top of all of that, you know, you said it so lovely of like, it reignited this passion for your artistic endeavors. And it's kind of, you know, what we touched on just a little bit at the beginning, like, you know, you get here, you're losing it a little bit, you know,
yeah.
Full-time jobs can take you over. Drudgery of the subway can take you over. Running out of money can take you over.
Yeah.
And to realize I can just go to this class if I want to. It's so perfect. It is everything I have hoped to hear doing this season of these people coming here with wide-eyed optimism. And sure, it's going to get, you know, give it some years, it'll be taken out of you. But right now,
right.
let's focus on this. You did it. You were in this class. You yes. met this icon of yours. I fucking love this story so much. I'm with you on the whole journey. It's so good.
Thank you.
I'm just so happy for you. I really am. I really am. I'm so glad you're here.
Thank you.
I have to ask you the last question of the show, and that is, what is your favorite thing about New York City?
My favorite thing about New York City is that it is unlike any other place. I mean, I know that that's a broad answer, but it's just its own thing. It's just this living, breathing organism. There's a reason why so many people come here. There's a reason why so many artists come here. It's not like anything else I've ever known.
Yeah, but never, ever lose this. Just bottle that up, that feeling. Like we said, there's going to be some hard times. Never, ever lose this. You're 100% right. There is nowhere else like this in the world. And frankly, it's exactly where you are meant to be.
Oh, thank you, Rachel.
Lainey, thank you so much for being on the show, for telling that story.
Thank you so much for having me, Rachel. It was like my first thing. Like, I was like, oh my gosh, someone asked me to be on a podcast. This is another New York moment. I met her at my job. Like, it's beautiful. Thank you so, so much.
Hell yes. You're welcome. And thank you. Most of all, thanks, New York. They had fun.